Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Listen, Melanie Cole's Health Radio is on now.
Well, you know, we talk about food labels. They are confusing, difficult. You don't know whether something is a GMO. You hear about things going on in Washington and whether there's regulations on what they have to put on labels and what's a trans fat. Boy, it can sure be a dizzying world. My guest today is Jillian Tuckman. She's a registered nutritionist dietitian. Welcome to the show, Jillian. So tell us about food labels. What is going on in the food label world now? What's required? And how do people know what they're reading?
One of the biggest changes that's happening in the nutrition world is the FDA recently announced that they're going to be changing the serving size to be more reasonable to what people actually eat. So whereas you would look at a carton of ice cream and you would see a half a cup as a serving size, now it might say maybe a cup and a half, which could be scary, right? Because all of a sudden you're used to seeing maybe 250 calories, and all of a sudden you're going to be staring at 700 calories. And that might take into effect next year. So that's one thing that we have to keep in mind. Another thing is that food labels actually don't always tell you the entire picture. Trans fat's a really good example of that. A label or a food product can have up to 0.4 grams of trans fat per serving, can be noted on the label. It could actually be labeled trans fat free. So if you're having more than one serving, you could actually be eating quite a considerable amount of trans fat, which we really don't want. One of a really good trick about trans fat is if you see the term partially hydrogenated oils, that's a good clue to know that there actually is trans fat in that food, even if it's not on a label.
So there's so many words that people see, and I like to tell people to eat foods without labels because, well, you know, then you just know you don't have to kind of worry about what's in it. But there's so many words now to disguise sugar and different kinds of fats and oils and palm oil and coconut oil and all of these different words. So tell us about some of the sugar words, cane syrup, high fructose corn syrup, dextrin, barley. Tell us about some of those.
Sugar is actually, you know, it's a really hot-button topic right now. We're really learning that that's actually really the villain of our dietary world. It's not so much the fat where we used to think in the 90s that that was really wreaking havoc. It really is the sugar. So it's really important that we really know how to recognize that, because it's not just, oh, we're going to look at a label and see sugar. And you're right to the point that we really should be eating food that's not in a package, but that's not the reality, and that's not really realistic for a lot of people. So when it comes to it, identifying those terms is really important. One of my most favorite terms that I tell people, in the sense that it's just so ridiculous, is a term called sucanat. Now, most people, you read sucanat, what the heck is sucanat, right? Sucanat actually stands for sugar cane in the natural, right? So that is, in essence, actually a true sugar. We need to avoid things like that. We need to avoid dextrose. We need to avoid maltodextrin. We need to avoid, of course, high fructose corn syrup. And high fructose corn syrup is different because when you have fructose, it actually all comes down to chemistry into molecules. And the molecule of fructose is much less stable than the molecule of glucose, which is another type of sugar. So when we have fructose and things like high fructose corn syrup, that actually can create a lot more inflammation than just even plain old sugar.
Now, what about some of the sweeteners and artificial sweeteners? I myself am so against some of these, but then you hear, you know, an aspartame and phenylalanine and all these things, but then you hear about stevia, oh, isn't that supposed to be better, and agave and all these other things. What do you think about some of those sweeteners are using?
Sure, and I think that's a really good thing. Listen, I think we would love to think that we could eat our cake and have it too, but the reality is we can't. Just because something says there's no calories doesn't mean that there's not a detriment to our health, and especially as it relates to blood sugar and insulin. We all know what insulin is in terms of diabetes. Insulin is secreted after our blood sugar rises to lower and stabilize our blood sugar back to normal. We used to think that it needed to have calories in order to raise our blood sugar. So all the endocrinologists, people with diabetes, are recommending, you know, go crazy with all the artificial sweeteners. They have zero calories. Your blood sugar can be fine. What we're learning and really seeing right now is that if it tastes sweet, you're still going to provoke that insulin and blood sugar response. That, in essence, can become incredibly inflammatory, and also insulin tells our body to store fat. We really want to avoid any artificial sweeteners. It wreaks havoc on our waistline, for number one. It wreaks havoc on our brains, and it's just, it makes us hungrier.
Yeah, no kidding. It really does, and it can be so detrimental, and people are finding out more and more about their addictions to sugar and getting off of it and so many things. So now when we're looking at the labels, people hear, and this is a short segment, Jillian, so we don't get to talk a lot. However, protein, we've talked a little bit about fat, we've talked a little bit about sugar, carbohydrates. You know, you see all of these different things, salt, sodium content. What do people make of all of those things, the protein levels in something and fiber? Tell us about reading labels and what we should be looking for.
That's a really great question. Protein, of course, is very important. We have three macronutrients of which we derive energy from: carbohydrates, fats, and protein. And in our country, just because the way that the food supply works, unless, of course, we are one of those people who are really struggling and we can't get our meals adequately, we really do have we are consuming adequate proteins. We really don't need to worry about how much protein we are getting, because most people are getting the amount that they need. Something that's really important to look at on a food label is the amount of total carbohydrates. And even within that, the amount of dietary fiber and then the amount of sugars. And that goes back to what we were saying about blood sugar. Because insulin is so inflammatory, because insulin tells your body to store fat, we want to make sure that our body is secreting as little of it as possible. We need as little of it as possible if our blood sugar isn't spiked as high. So there are a few things that mitigate the amount of the rise that our blood sugar is going to spike. One of those is dietary fiber, and the other is protein. So when we're looking at a food label, and let's say we're looking at something of apple juice, and we see that for a cup of apple juice, the carbohydrate count is 35 grams, and maybe the sugar content is in the high 20s, and there's no fiber. That's going to spike our sugar very high and then require a lot of insulin to bring it back down. If we're having something like an apple that has, sure, the carbohydrates and the sugar, but it also has the fiber, that's going to help mitigate how high that spike. So when we're looking at a food label, we want to make sure that there's the least amount of carbohydrates that there can be. If you're comparing labels between things, always choose what has the least amount of carbohydrates and the least amount of sugars. You see a lot of protein bars really masquerading as protein bars and these healthy dietary supplements, but they could have as much grams of sugar as a candy bar. So really, really look at the carbohydrate and the sugar count.
Well, the only thing that I want to say about that, because I worry about the word carbohydrate, people now look at these diets, Jillian, and they say, oh, carbohydrates, I'm not allowed any of those. But a tomato is a carbohydrate, and so is a carrot. You know,
absolutely.
Grains and legumes and quinoa and all of these things contain carbohydrates, and they use that word carbs. Well, just explain to them why we're not talking about carrots and tomatoes and lettuce and green peppers.
Absolutely.
Carbohydrates have a different meaning for what you're talking
right,
about.
Right, of course. The no carb and low carb, or I'm going on a no carb. If people were to really sustain themselves on no carb diets, they would feel absolutely terribly. What we mean when we're saying watch your carbohydrates is we mean the refined starches, the simple sugars, the things that are really going to spike your blood sugar. When we're talking about a tomato, when we're talking about beans, when we're talking about whole grain quinoa, we're also seeing that they have fiber, and a lot of those times it has protein. Black beans, sure, they have a high carbohydrate count, but there's also a lot of protein and a lot of fiber to help mitigate that. It's not a refined, sucanat kind of carbohydrate.
That's right. And in 30 seconds, give us your best advice for reading food labels.
You know, I think people know what they need to look for and just be smart about it. Look, understand, know that you need proteins. Don't be scared of fat. Go for a low amount of calories, but do not go for something that is a fake food.
That's right. You want to keep it clean, whole foods, and if you can't read the words, probably it's not something you should really be eating that much of, but it certainly is great advice, and if you missed any of it, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at RadioMD.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at YourRadioMD. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, stay well.